You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
I am Glenda Geek, coming to you from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Friday, August 29th. It's almost September.
It is.
Episode 3,764, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, horse people.
It's Friday, and another weekend of riding is a few short hours away. Jamie and Glenn are here to help you make it through the day with some fun guests and some really bad ads. Enjoy the show.
That's right, it is Friday. I'm happy to report for everybody, and a lot of you have a long weekend because Monday's Labor Day. Jamie and I will be off, but I do have an episode I put together for you that I think if you own a business of any kind in the horse world, you're going to want to take a listen to. I had Helena's husband on, who was a small business loan officer for like 40 years, and he talks about loans for small businesses, especially in the farm world, whether you're retail or run a barn or a training business, and you have to get a loan. It's very interesting. We're going to put that out on Monday's show, and then Jamie and I will be back next Wednesday. So today on the show, we have researcher Sarah King. She's going to join us to discuss her fascinating work with feral horses and donkeys and how they differ at running in the wild. Plus, Auditor Nicola is going to join us. Finally, I watched Princess Bride. I did it last night, and she did too, her first time. We're both going to give our review, and probably Jamie will quit by the end of the show. And then we have some really bad ads we're going to do as well. And in the post show, we'll have a post show for you. Well, I don't know how long it'll be, but we'll do one for the auditors. Now, you had something too come up.
I did. Oh, yes. It actually sparked quite a debate online. So initially I talked about the whole silver lab. My husband and son are interested in getting a lab, and they were interested in getting a silver lab. And then the onslaught of people who were like, that is a terrible idea. I'm still getting messages, and now I'm getting messages like, thank God you're not getting a silver lab. Like, you guys are very comfortable sharing your opinion with me, which I sometimes like. It's fine. So
this one might have saved you thousands of dollars.
Yeah, I know. With the medical bills that I have with Homer, like, it's cool. I'm glad you guys said something. So on International Dog Day, our local dog, animal shelter was doing free adoption. So Lucas and I decided to walk along and check them all out. And we went in there, and there was a year old black lab male. And I wasn't ready to commit to adoption. So we did what they call a staycation, where you get to keep the dog for 36 hours. And what they hope you'll do is, I guess they hope you'll adopt it. But what they also ultimately hope you do is bring the dog back with a lot more information than they had about the dog initially. So it's kind of like they love to let people take the dog. And then when you take the dog back, you fill out some forms and like what the dog's likes and dislikes and behaviors and things like that. So we took the black lab home, and we kept her for about 30 hours. I returned her yesterday. And him. He was recently castrated and neutered, and then was very big and very exuberant. He had been kind of stuck in the shelter for a couple of weeks already. He was brought in as a stray. So brought him home, and I mean, no leash training at all, which is fine. I don't expect anything like that. I expected we'd be getting this big lump of clay. And unfortunately, I don't think he played with dogs very much, and he was a lot.
He just like, barrel him over, just
over. Barrel him over. And for Homer, Homer's so kind and tried to play with him, and he just was too much. And he knocked Danny over, and he knocked Lucas over, and he knocked Wink. So like, he just was exuberant. So really fun. We played toys. He fetches. is. He's like, loves it. I put him in the backyard. He immediately jumped out of the fence. I was like, oh no, that's not okay.
Fence is not tall enough.
And horses. Yep. I'm out. And the cool thing is he didn't run away. He just ran to the front door. He was like, hey, I'm still here.
Let me back in.
Let me back in. So that was a fun game. So the good news is I was able to tell them, okay, he doesn't really walk on a leash and he would be good with, he loves other dogs. They just need to be bigger because he was not a, he did not read the room. Like they were communicating with him very clearly and he just blew through them and ignored it and stuff. He did not jump on people. He did not bark. He had like some really redeeming qualities. And I did talk to some trainers, as you guys know, I got some training quotes, which were astronomical. And thanks to all of you, I ended up calling my vet and getting a trainer recommendation. And I ended up talking to the Monty Roberts version of dog trainers. And he's like, I was like, I don't understand why prices are the way that they are for dog training. His were so reasonable. And he was like, you know, you can't help people if you charge them. And I was like, oh my God, yes, thank you. That's what I've been saying the whole time. So University Animal Hospital, which is our auditor, Patty's husband is the owner. I called them and they gave me this recommendation. And I told this guy, I was like, I don't care if we keep this dog or not, I'm going to work with you in the future. And so I feel like I made a good connection there for when we do get a dog, because I want Lucas to learn how to train dogs as well, you know, and as we all know, parents can't teach their children, can't teach them to ride, can't teach them about dogs, nothing. So we'll definitely work with him in the future. So dog went back and the
so it's like
continues.
The shortest fostering ever. It's 36 hour foster.
They call it a staycation. So, you know, when I brought him back, there was not this shameful, oh, you failed.
Yeah,
it was like,
loser.
Oh, what did you learn? You know, kind of thing, which I really like. So we might actually do that more just to help out. I really enjoyed that. Kind of like getting to know it, playing with it, figuring out what its likes were, what its behaviors
were. Well,
that's
kind of what you do with horses, right? So, I mean,
Exactly.
We thought about that with the greyhounds. If we do get dogs again, I think what I'll do is foster for a little while because they need that so bad. They need a lot of fosters and we would have the perfect farm to do that.
They don't offer fostering at the animal shelter near me. They offer fostering for puppies and sick dogs. And I'm like, if I fostered a puppy, I would keep the puppy.
Right.
So I'm not interested in that at this point, but doing that staycation thing, that's pretty cool to be able to do
an
assessment.
That's neat that they do that. Not all places do that either. So
no, they don't. Yeah. So, and again, bringing the dog back, they were just like, cool. What did you learn? Tell us about it. Okay. We'll see you again soon. You know? And I'm like, this is awesome.
And was Lucas cool? He wasn't heartbroken?
No, he was not. I mean, it was very obvious that it was not going. I mean, I was having to put the dogs out in shifts, you know, and when I talked to the trainer, he's like, you're looking at 3 months minimum of daily work. And I was like,
that's Christmas time. I'm done.
Yeah. So, and again, somebody, well, I actually spoke to, I think potentially he would be good with scent work. So I spoke to somebody about that and they're going to go to the shelter and look at him and stuff. So I think some good was done, but no, nobody was, Lucas did not break his heart. And we're gonna, like, I don't want to get a puppy until he's out of school anyway, so he can do all the
that's
work.
That's true. All right. Well, you know, I'm glad you didn't fail fostering. You actually graduated from fostering. You fail fostering exactly. When you take the dog. So that's when you fail.
That's true. No, it was good. I felt like we did something good. And, you know, sucks that it doesn't work out. But again, if I can continue to help within this situation, I'm excited about it.
Good. Cool. All right. Let's do some daily winnies. I don't know what it is with auditor birthdays this week, but there just isn't any, so I don't have any today either. I do want to thank everybody for the very kind messages about being cancer-free. There are hundreds of them in the auditor group, and I've gotten all kinds of messages. You all just keep us going. You really do. You're our friends. You're the ones we look to for keeping this show going and for keeping us motivated to do it after all these years, and we really do appreciate that. I did want to get a plug in here, though. Colorectal cancer is now the second most common cause of cancer fatalities in the United States, with 150,000 diagnoses annually and 52,000 deaths. Mm. Only lung cancer kills more. So it's gotten headlines recently because younger and younger and younger people, there's been a lot of articles about this, are getting it down to 30 years old. And they think it might be diet or whatever. No, I don't think they know for sure. But they are recommending now that you get tested after the age of 40, and that's male and female. Now, nicely now, there is a home test that you can do and mail in. For people that don't have high risk, they have them do that. Jennifer actually hasn't had a colonoscopy. She gets this other test. So you can ask your doctor about it. It is recommended. Younger and younger, and I highly recommend it. If it wasn't for my friend Lee, who has died from colorectal cancer since, encouraging me to do it when I did it, I probably would be dead today. So go get tested. Earlier is better. Now, we have three brand new auditors this week, Ginny, Dana, and Kristen. Thank you all for joining up and being part of the group. We really appreciate it. I noticed a couple of you have joined the page already, and we are glad to have you, and thank you so much for helping with your support, and we hope you enjoy it.
Well, my daily Winnie goes out to, this is just so cool. I'm so happy to do this, but I'm also very happy to facilitate equine shopping. And what that means is I was able to put my horse Maverick with my friend, my best friend, Larissa. She lives about 45 minutes from me, and her son decided he wanted to ride horses. So I actually have Maverick at my house. Maverick is he's probably 18. He's an old rope horse. He's not super sound, but he is gentle. And so I sent Maverick over to her to live with her son until they don't want him anymore and I'll take him back. But Maverick is now living with him. And oh my gosh, this child wants to ride Maverick twice a day. Like, I was like, y'all need to get another horse. He can't be ridden twice a day. That's sound enough. They have got him on, they had the vet come out and they've got him on some therapies and medications to keep him moving good and supplements and taking really good care of him. And then facilitating horse shopping. I feel like, you know, women get a bad rep. So Larissa took her son to a Western tack shop and they went a little crazy. So I'm very pleased to say that not only have we got a new child riding horses, we've also got a new child and a boy who likes to shop for horse stuff. They went to like all the tack places in Oklahoma City. And so Oklahoma City has a Stockyards, which is like a cattle sale place. I think I told you guys I went there and everything was closed. Well, they went when everything was open. So, and there's so many tack shops around there. I can't wait to get my hands on it. But they got to go and do some shopping for Maverick. And I get photos every single day. And Maverick is doing great. And his little man is doing great. And they're super happy. But now, fortunately, he has a twin brother who now wants to get into horses too. So I'm like, now you got to get in. You know what?
She
you
can started
borrow
it.
Carl. I'm like, you can borrow Craigslist Carl, but you can't have him. Okay. But yeah, no, it's a whole thing now. So she's like, great. Now I got to buy Western saddles and Western horses. And he wants to take lessons and do all the roping things and play total cowboy. And now she's got a second one who's getting into it too. So I'm super excited for her. And I guess her husband, Larissa's husband, Kyle, said, congratulations. Because they've been doing like jujitsu and like judo and stuff with their dad.
So she finally won.
They're 10 now, you know, and one, her one son decided he wanted to do horses. And Kyle goes, congratulations. You finally got a daughter.
Hey, speaking of Western, I asked Jennifer yesterday, I said, how do you like in your Western saddle? Because she's riding this gated horse. And she loves her Western saddle. She said it's the most comfortable saddle she's ever been in.
Oh,
she loves it.
Good.
She said, I could do without the horn. That's almost shish kebabbed her a couple times. But she said that she loves the seat and how it sits. And she just loves it. This is a girl that's never ridden Western in her life.
That's cool.
She's liking it. All right. Tell us
is
about.
Is she like Western shopping, though? Like, is she getting into the boots and the jeans?
No, she still wears her English, you know, everything. Okay. She just likes the saddle. All right. Let's hear about KPP. And then we'll go to our guest and talk about some donkeys and some horses in the wild.
Wild horses. Has your horse been diagnosed with a neurological or muscular disorder? Is he or she showing signs of muscle wasting and impaired balance or coordination? Studies show that supplemented water-soluble natural vitamin E can reach a horse's brain and spinal cord through the blood-brain barrier, where it can benefit horses with neurological issues. If your horse has any of these problems, Elevate WS, which is Elevate Well Salva, natural vitamin liquid can help. A research-proven, powerful antioxidant, Elevate maintains healthy muscle, nerve, and immune function. And it does this by delivering a highly bioavailable source of natural vitamin E that is preferentially absorbed and retained in horses' tissue. For more information, visit kppusa.com. And it is like when you get it, it's this tiny little bottle and you literally put like 2 cc's in. So it lasts forever. Yeah. It's tiny, but it lasts forever. And I mean, if your horse isn't on vitamin E, I hope they're standing in a knee-high pasture full of grass because it's an amazing supplement.
Very good. Coming up next, we have Dr. Sarah King. She is a research scientist with Colorado State University who studies feral populations of horses and things around the world. And she did, I don't know how I came across these papers, to be honest. They popped up somehow in one of my searches.
She has lots of initials after her name.
Yes. I don't even know what any of them are. But she did say, or she did these papers on, she studied two different groups of feral horses and donkeys to see how they differed in the wild, which I thought was fascinating. Let's chat with her. Well, Dr. King, thank you so much for joining us this morning. This is going to be fun to chat about this.
Yeah, absolutely. I always love talking about horses. So happy to be here.
I don't know how I stumbled over your papers that were posted but on feral horses and donkeys, but I did. And for some reason, we've been on a donkey and mule kick this year, talking about donkeys and mules, but we haven't really talked about the feral versions. And I saw your papers here, and you've studied horses from all over the world. We spent a lot of time talking about Mongolia and trips there and the Mongol Derby and all that stuff. But you've also obviously studied feral horses here in America. What led you to want to study the differences between feral horses and donkeys?
They're really interesting. I did this work in cooperation with USGS, and basically BLM, the Bureau of Land Management, okay, had a need for more research on feral horses and donkeys. So we had the opportunity to put radio collars on horses and donkeys, which enabled us to really look in detail at their movements, at the behavior, at how they use the landscape. And I just want to add that we also did a study, a year-long study, before we put collars on horses out in the wild. We put them on actually in Oklahoma just to check that they were safe for these animals.
So let me ask you this question first. In the wild, do horses and donkeys hang out, or are they in different groups?
The ones that we studied were in completely separate areas. Where we looked at donkeys, there were no horses, and where we looked at horses, there were no donkeys. But there are places where they do co-occur. There are, herd management areas where there are both. And I've had reports that they will mingle a little bit, but that's not what we looked at.
Well, that's great, because this really gives you the differences, right? You were able to plainly see the differences. So what are some of the differences that you found between the feral donkeys and horses?
Yeah, so donkeys also are really understudied. I mean, there's so little research on donkeys. I'm really glad to hear that you've been focusing on donkeys and mules, because they're really worthy of our attention. And so what we found is that donkeys have a completely different social system to horses. So horses and donkeys are very different. They're completely different species. They have different ancestors. So horses have that whole horse ancestry similar to the Przewalski's horse, whereas donkeys are actually descended from the African wild ass. This very endangered, very rare wild equid that lives in Africa. And so donkeys evolved in the deserts. So they have this, they're very arid adapted. And that means that the horses and donkeys have these different social systems and this different behavior. So donkeys, we found that donkeys spend a lot more time feeding and moving, and especially a lot more time lying down than horses.
Does not surprise me. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're just donkeys just lying down. And donkeys had this really cool behavior that when it was really hot and buggy, they would find these dust patches and they would lie down and they would use their tail to sort of fluff up dust, which we can only presume is to keep insects away. And zebras have been observed doing the same thing. But it's not something horses do, more of the rolling. They don't just lie down and fluff up dust. So that was really cool.
Are they less terrified all the time than the horses, or are they on alert like the horses are all the time?
Yeah, they're pretty much on alert. I mean, I think that donkeys, we think of donkeys as being very stoic, but it seems, and this is, not necessarily based on science, but they seem to sort of process information differently. I don't know. I mean, like horses, if they're startled by something, they will run away. Mm-hmm. Whereas if donkeys are startled by something, they'll more sort of like just, you know, hold their ground, and they go into more of that freeze than the flee. But yeah, on the range, I mean, they can habituate to people just like horses can. But yeah, I mean, they're wild donkeys. They're not used to being handled. They're not used to human contact.
I have a question. So in the world today, a lot of people use donkeys as livestock guardians to protect against predators. Did you find that the natural instinct is if they do, like horses see a coyote or a wolf or whatever, and they run. Did you find that the donkeys were more likely to face their enemy?
Take them on.
Go get them, buddy.
We didn't directly see that. And yeah, and like even horses, I've seen Przewalski's horses in Mongolia just, you know, stare at wolves rather than run away. So I think both of them are pretty good at knowing if they are being threatened or not. But yeah, I mean, donkeys will do that, especially male donkeys will do that, braying and running over to investigate things.
What about the herd dynamics, like boys and girls? Like, you know, with the feral horses, you see stallions fighting for their harem, right? And territory and all of that. Is the same with donkeys?
Donkeys have a very different social system to horses. So they don't really have, so in horses, we're used to seeing like, you know, an adult male, a stallion, sometimes more than one male with a group of mares. Whereas donkeys don't have those sort of permanent social bonds. They have what we call a fish and fusion social system, where individuals will come together and go apart. But the interesting thing is that, yeah, so they don't really have social bonds between, permanent social bonds between individuals, so they don't have harem groups, but they all will come into contact with each other. But the interesting thing with donkeys as well is that often you'll see females without being associating with any males, whereas in horses, it's very rare to see a female horse without being associated with a stallion.
So they're the swingers of the horse world, is what you're saying. They play around.
Although we can talk about how horses also play around too. But yeah, no, but the donkeys, I mean, I think it's just that they just don't sort of move in those very stable social groups that we're used to seeing with horses. I think that they exhibit a lot of social interactions. We saw a lot more sort of like aggressive and friendly interactions between donkeys than we did between horses. And that could be because when they get together, they're like, okay, we've got to fit everything in into this short period of time.
Are they more thrifty as far as food and stuff because they are desert animals?
What do you mean by thrifty?
I mean, do they take care of themselves? Can they take care of themselves better in finding food than horses?
Well, I mean, they both survive very well out in the wild.
Yeah,
so.
Okay.
Yeah. And they both, I mean, all of the populations that we had, all of the individuals in general, on average, were in really good condition throughout our study, throughout the year. Donkeys do have a different diet than horses. They tend to go a bit more towards shrubs, but donkeys also will eat, they'll find grasses and forbs and eat those too. And
well, horses, that's why... Too with donkeys now, you know, you put a donkey in your pasture with your horses and your donkey is fat as, you know, with all the big fat pads and pockets and stuff, because they're used to eating, like, go get a stick, buddy, you know, like eat the stick. They're so much easier keepers, I guess, than horses are.
Yeah, I mean, I think with Mustangs, they tend to be pretty easy keepers as well, just because they grow up just eating, you know, whatever they can find kind of thing. Right. So yeah, in our studies of diet, it's been really interesting how much, I mean, we think of horses as just eating grass, but they also will eat a lot of like flowering plants. So like, you know, like feeding alfalfa to horses is probably something that they actually would choose if it was out there in the wild.
What surprised you the most with these studies?
Yeah, I mean, I think I think it was really cool to really show the difference between horses and donkeys. I think that we tend to often view donkeys as small horses, but they're really not. They're completely different. They're a very different species. You know, they've got this different ancestry, different social system, different behavior. So I think it's really important that we treat donkeys for the species that they are, and not just like little horses.
So tell us about your second paper, and you were it focused a little bit on male reproductive strategies, right?
Yeah. So the other paper I published recently, we were able to look at male reproductive success So in other words, we could use genetic data to look at how many foals the stallions had. And so this was really, really interesting because often, of course, you can tell who the mother of a foal is generally by who she's with. But knowing the father of the foal is generally based on just what stallion the mare was seen with. But of course, that male is not always the father of the foals. And so in that study, the really surprising thing was that we found this high level of reproductive skew, meaning that a very few males were responsible for a lot of the foals. So in the two populations we looked at, five males were the fathers of 45% of the foals, which to me was really quite interesting.
Wow, they were busy.
Yeah, they were very successful. Yeah, the mares really like these guys. So yeah.
So your study also found that friendly interactions between the stallions led to greater reproductive success. I don't know, that kind of goes opposite of what I would have thought, because you always see them out there fighting, right? And I always thought that would lead to that guy being the stud.
Yeah. And so I think to me, yeah, I was really pleased to finally show this, because this is something which I've felt for a long time, that it's friendly interactions that really bond horse societies rather than these aggressive interactions. And I think there's a lot of misconceptions about, you know, stallions stealing mares and, you know, and all of the herding, you know, and that's how they keep them, and the stallions force mares to stay with them. I mean, when you're thinking about the amount of space that they have out of there, that really if a mare is receiving too much aggression from a stallion, or she's, you know, really not, yeah, not able to eat, not able to do what she wants, then she will just leave. We saw a lot of females, you know, females do change horse groups. Both, I mean, sometimes it is that a stallion will be like, "Hey, come with me," mm-hmm. but really there is a lot of female choice. It's not all about. It's not as patriarchal a society as I think that we've been led to believe. There is a lot of, you know, the females can really choose who they're with and also who they will mate with.
Was that something that surprised you in this study?
Well, I was really pleased to have shown it. I mean, I've been observing horses for close to 20 years now, and it's something that I had really, it was one of those things that I had felt was true because I had seen females choose to leave groups. But it was really nice to have the science to really show that it was very clear that when we looked at agonistic interactions and against both how many foals the stallion had, as well as how long he remained as a harem stallion, there was no relationship at all. But when we looked at the number of affiliative interactions, so things like touches, mutual grooming, you know, just being really friendly to each other, then there was a definite relationship with how many foals that male had and how long he stayed as a harem stallion. And these males were also, the females were choosing to be in close proximity to those stallions as well. So, you know, I think it would be fair to say they like each other. And so that helped both of them, you know, have a stable social structure, which then meant that there would be, you know, better survival of foals. And so it was better for everybody. You know, the foals are more likely to survive. The stallions get to have more foals. The mares get to have a nice, peaceful life.
This is fascinating. The papers were fascinating too. And they were written in such a way that I could even understand them. So good job with that. And I'll put a link to both of them in the show notes. Everybody should just go look at them for themselves. I noticed, Jamie, you highlighted something else about Dr. King. And this is something that's come up a lot on the show this week. How about that she's an animal trainer, offering training and behavior advice for sport for dogs.
I see what you're saying. You're yes. getting at the whole yes. dog trainer yes. thing, yes. you know? Yeah. I mean, I might be interested in reading some of those papers.
She just got a puppy, and she looked yeah. into getting dog training and realized it's more expensive than training your freaking horse.
Yes, we had a staycation for a shelter dog, and I was reaching out to people asking about training, and oh my gosh, like thousands of dollars compared to training horses. It was 5-6 times as much as training a horse for a month.
It's crazy.
Yeah. I think it's, you know, we could say it's market pressure, but yeah, I've already noticed it even with behavior consulting, you know, that people will pay a lot more for that with their dog than with their horse. But I think it's because we have our dogs in our homes, you know. I think that people, their horse is misbehaving, they have problems with their horse, they leave it at the barn or they send it to a trainer. Whereas your dog, you know, your dog lives in your house. You experience
it poops
that,
in your house, it eats your house, it does everything in your house, pees in your house. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. That is true. That is true. Is there an animal you like working with the best for training?
I don't know. Horses and dogs are very different. It's really interesting. I really like working with them both and for different ways. I mean, and I actually do scent work training.
Oh, okay.
And so it's really fun doing that with horses as well as with dogs.
Oh, we're going to have you back to talk about that. One of our listeners just requested that we have somebody on to talk about scent work with horses.
Oh, cool.
So
cool.
Can we have you back to talk about that? That's fascinating,
horses.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's so much potential, and it's been so understudied. So, yeah, I think it's something that's really cool. Yeah.
We'll definitely have you back. What are the next steps for research as far as horses or donkeys are concerned, or the feral populations?
Yeah, so sadly, so the studies that these two papers were published on, and as well as like several, yeah, a bunch of other papers that we've published on this work, those studies came to an end. We'll probably still continue to publish some more data, some more papers on the data that we collected. But yeah, there's always more questions to ask. So yeah, so I've got plenty of irons in the fire of other things that I'd like to look at in the future. Yeah, because I find the horse behavior just endlessly fascinating.
Do you ride? Do you have your own personal horses?
I do. Yeah, I actually adopted a Mustang from one of my study areas.
Oh, wow.
That's a girl.
Yay.
Yeah. So I have him. Yeah, and I do positive reinforcement training with him.
When
so
you have
not riding him yet.
You live in a place where you don't ride. It's a sin because Colorado. I mean, it's just perfect for riding, right? So
absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Dr. King, this has been absolutely fascinating. As I said, she's a research scientist with Colorado State University. I'll put a link to these papers in the show notes so that you can just go to them and take a read of them. And then I'll get back in touch with you to come back and talk about using horses as scent animals, just like dogs. I think that's fascinating. So let's chat about that.
That would be great. Thank you very much for having me.
As horse owners, we have an unlimited supply of love for our animals, but we tend to underestimate the cost of their care. Routine and unexpected expenses can quickly add up, making it hard to keep pace. Wouldn't it feel great to always be prepared with a budget-friendly way to manage these costs? The Care Credit Health and Animal Care Credit Card can give you the financial peace of mind you're looking for. With flexible financing from Care Credit, you can get the care your horse needs and then pay over time in easy monthly payments. They're accepted at 25,000 veterinary hospitals around the country and the world, I think, and use it to pay for everything from diagnostics and surgery to wellness exams and routine care. Care Credit, it's your card for a lifetime of care. Subject to credit approval. To learn more and apply, visit carecredit.com/vetmed. Okay, it's time. It's time to review The Princess Bride.
Okay, y'all, we've been waiting on this, and Glenn would not do it alone.
No.
And that is the review for one of the greatest movies ever. I mean, just one of the best. So Glenn has brought on Nicola. She's a listener and she has a beautiful accent. Hey, Nicola.
Hi, hello.
Thank you so much.
I got an international listener to do this one, to get an international opinion on.
Well, because to find somebody who hasn't seen it, you have to go international, okay?
I was actually surprised how many of our auditors have not seen it and how many did not like it. So,
like, that is garbage. They're lying, okay? I mean, seriously. Okay.
Have we mentioned this Princess Bride? Have we mentioned that?
I mean, I guess
if okay.
Nobody's been following along for like weeks. So here's how it started. For those who didn't hear, is I've been calling my assistant farm boy for years. And Glenn, the other day, we were trying to come up with a name for the new farm girl. And Glenn mentioned that he'd never seen Princess Bride when I said the name was from Princess Bride. 4 years!
I had no idea. It makes a lot more sense now, by the way. It makes a lot more sense.
So great. I can't believe you didn't. I was just shocked.
It's like in the first scene of the movie.
Yes, yes, it is. And so what we did was we got a poll together on people who hadn't seen it, had seen it, and Nicola had not seen it. And so she and Glenn are going to do a review. So probably intermittently throughout this, I will just throw out random quotes from The Princess Bride because it's the most quotable movie. Yeah, see what you did there. The fact that you did that is inconceivable. Go ahead.
By the way, I hate that guy. I hate him as an actor. I hated him all the way through the movie.
Oh, but he's so great.
I just never liked it. Wallace Shawn, he played the kind of the antagonist character. And I just have never liked him in anything he's in. So,
well, you know what's funny is, side note, he actually was not supposed to play that. Danny DeVito was.
Oh, he'd have been so much better at that.
And Danny DeVito had something else to do and like pulled out. So they hired Vizzini. And apparently, while he had like complete imposter syndrome the entire movie and every night had like crippling anxiety because he thought he was going to get fired the next day.
Well, he didn't look like the only one that was having crippling anxiety all the way through that movie.
Okay, let's go. Nicola, what was your thought going into watching, like when you sat down to watch the movie, what was your like mindset?
I had no idea what it was about. And it started and it's like, I don't know who the kid was, but I was like, I've seen him before. And then Fred I was Savage. Like, where is this going? Should I be stoned? Like, I don't know. I just felt like,
were you a Monty Python fan, Nicola? Were you a Monty Python fan?
No, that's a bit before my time.
Okay, yeah, because it's Monty Python-esque.
See, I don't like Monty Python, so I'm with Nicola. It's like not my thing. So anyway, you were sitting down. You're like, should I be high for this? Like, what is going on?
Were you high for this, Nicola?
Maybe it would have been more enjoyable then.
Oh, you were not a fan.
Glenn, sit down and talk me through you sitting down and watching it, because I don't think everybody knows it. Like Fred Savage is like the whole beginning thing.
I do have a couple of comments. One, Farm Boy makes a lot more sense now. You know, now I kind of get it. I just thought you called him Farm Boy. I had no reason. I had no idea why. The first thing that struck me is I used to watch Columbo with my dad. That's how old I am. Mm-hmm. We watched Columbo when it was new on TV. And that's one thing my dad would sit down and watch with us. So when I saw Columbo come in at the very beginning, I went, is that Peter Falk, the granddad? Mm-hmm. And it was like, holy cow, this must have been one of the last things he did before he passed away. But he was the perfect one to play that role. I think he's probably the best actor in the whole thing. And then I saw Fred Savage. I was like, Fred Savage is in this? So yeah. I like that premise. I like that whole thing. And then we got into, I will say overall, the poll said 43% I would like it. 49%, it was okay, not the best. And 8%, oh my God, why did anyone like it? I was in the middle. I was okay, not the best. And I'll tell you why. Robin Wright, who played Buttercup, all I did was want to smack her through the entire movie. She was the most... She just either looked like she was high, stoned, or had no idea what the frick was going on through the whole movie. When the hero was being attacked by the big rat... She just stood there and watched. I was like, get a stick, something. And then she got a stick and didn't do anything with it. I just wanted to say, well, at least help him out. The whole way through the movie, she had this dazed look like, I don't even know why I'm here. I thought she was the worst actress I've ever seen in a movie. Andre
Bless
the Giant.
Your heart. This was her first ever movie, Glenn.
Oh, was it? Okay, well, that makes sense because I've seen her in other stuff where she was good. This one, she looked totally lost or stoned or something. He was good. You know, the main dude there, he was good. And when Andre the Giant is the best actor in a movie, I like Andre the Giant. So for me, he was great.
I thought you said you didn't like him.
No, I like Andre the Giant. No, okay. I like him.
He was hesitant, Wikipedia says, he was hesitant to take the part on account that the film's dialogue was in English and he was French. And he also didn't know if he could make the film because it conflicted with the wrestling match he was doing in Tokyo that was going to pay $5 million.
Oh, wow. No wonder he was distracted.
He's like, I'm a wrestler. What am I doing?
I was disappointed Billy Crystal wasn't in more of it.
But what a great cameo that was.
It was. And the woman who played his wife, I mean, she was just out there. I mean, she was good too. Overall, I thought it was okay. It got halfway to Monty Python. Halfway to Monty Python. I thought it was halfway to Monty Python. I thought some of the acting was just not good. It just
Do realize this was the early 80s, right? And these are all like kind of like not famous people aside from Columbo and Fred Savage. And, you know, they're not actors. Like, I mean, now they are.
Right.
I mean, Robin Wright went on to be she's still amazing. She's Jenny in Forrest Gump.
I agree. I know she was amazing after that. This first role, though. Wow. She just had the deer in the headlights the whole movie. I just wanted to smack her in that fight scene and say, do something. You know, it's like,
you're not the only one. I am like, will you please kick the rat or whatever?
Yes, right. She's just watching him get eaten.
So, Nicola, you do not sound like you were impressed.
No, it was just like watching a pantomime. I think, and this is where I think the guys that like it come from, maybe it's a nostalgia thing. Like, maybe if you watched it as a kid, you're like, oh yeah, that film, like, I grew up watching. But yeah, like in 2025, watching a film from 1987, it just looks so dated, so just bizarre. Like, what the hell was going on?
Oh, yeah, you know what dated it the most for me, Nicola, is the opening scene with Fred Savage playing the video game. Did you see the video game? It's like, oh my God, that's going back to the early days of playing video games on the most archaic computer we ever owned.
Like, see, here's the thing. You guys are spoiled with CGI because I would like you to know that the ROUS's rodents of unusual size, there were people inside those costumes.
Oh, were
those
there?
Were not animatronics. They're like, that's how technology was back then. Like, make your rat put a zipper on it. I don't know.
Like, I think Nicholas is right. I think if you saw it earlier to when it came out, you're probably more nostalgic about it than trying to watch it later.
I'm sorry. I have been afraid of the sand my entire life. At some point.
I have that written down. Quicksand is something we grew up terrified about. Killer bees and quicksand. So when I saw that, it was like, oh, somebody did go in quicksand. There really is quicksand.
Hold on. She's talking about Farm Boy. Give me Farm Boy.
Farm Boy was hot, right? So, like, he starts off as this, like, peasant that only, you know, speaks five words. And then somehow, overnight, when he, like, turns into a pirate, he then becomes this, like, eloquent, witty gentleman that's got all the words in the world. And he can climb up rocks and fight and, like, No.
I'm sorry. Did you miss the part where he'd been training with the Dread Pirate Roberts for 5 years? Good night, Wesley. I'm Uncle Leslie. Kill you in the morning. Like, that was his life. Of course he had to learn how to talk and be witty and physically fit and a sword fight. Come on.
I got to ask you this. This is what I was thinking about the whole time. When you started calling your Farm Boy, he had never watched this.
I don't know. I don't know if I ever asked him.
So he doesn't know it's off this movie to this day?
He probably does. I mean, it's been years of it, but
he spend a year just saying as you wish every time you asked him to do something? Was he?
So no, he did not. So obviously he's never seen it, but I would like to debunk the whole, like, I was hesitant to call him Farm Boy because there is a connotation of romance, the Farm Boy thing.
That's
so I kind of had to look past it, which is what I'm doing with Farm Girl. I'm looking past the romantic connotation and I just wanted some boy to stand on the barn and say, as you wish. That's all I wanted. What's wrong with that?
I think everybody, we all want somebody standing in the barn and saying, as you wish.
I try and rats. That'd be useful too.
So it sounds like Nicola was on the, oh my God, why did anybody like it? I was more in the middle because I did appreciate all the one-liners. This was a movie set up to have one-liners, as you said, that people remember and use forever. It really was set up for that.
Does it make more sense to you guys where people say, you killed my father, prepare to die?
Yes, I mean, which I didn't know where that reference came from either, and I've heard it all my life. It kind of did make more sense. I would have thought I would have liked it better because I did like Monty Python, you know, and it kind of is Monty Python.
It's not Monty Python. It's romantic. But again, it does have some of that slapstick humor in it. But I would like to say that finally, you guys, it's only like 40 years old. Thank you for joining in.
Well, now I think Nicola pissed off about 90% of the listeners. I only pissed off half of them. So
I would like for both of you to wrap this up, to make make me not hang up the phone. And Nicola, for you and I to remain Facebook friends, you're going to have to give me some positives. I need some positive feedback. So I want three things you liked from both of you.
Three? Can I give you
Nicola?
One?
No, three. I want three.
All right.
I mean, I've got Farm Boy, right?
Yeah.
But he counts for three.
I mean, it was really, the fighting scenes were reasonably entertaining.
Entertaining? What the hell? Sorry, did you hear that? Okay, sorry.
The prince reminded me of an ex-boyfriend, which was actually a negative because every time he came on, I was like, oh my God, he just looks like, oh, can't do it.
Who did?
The prince.
The prince.
Oh, Prince Humperdinck.
Yeah.
So, okay. Good fight scenes. Wesley was hot. One more.
It wasn't very long.
Yeah. Oh, that Jesus was. I was going to use that one because I kept looking and going, it's only an hour and a half. This is great.
An hour and 37 minutes. Yeah.
She knew exactly how many minutes. Andre the Giant was, I liked him in the movie. It was fun to see. Columbo was perfect. I like the storytelling. I like how they told the story with the kid interrupting every once in a while. I like that whole plot line. I really did like that plot line.
I thought you would appreciate that. That's why I didn't want to tell you about any of that, because like you don't go into this sweeping adventure. It just kind of like starts with Fred Savage playing video games.
And
you know?
Fred Savage was really good because, you know, he played the character well, you know, the kind of snarky kid. He played that very well. Well, that, of course, he's played it very well in his life. But yeah, so I think that overall, I like the one-liners. There were some good one-liners. I appreciated those as a comedic actor.
Just so you know, my brother-in-law, during his speech, like the best man speech, he started the best man speech with marriage. Marriage is what brings us together today.
Who was the priest? Who was the priest? I don't even know who that was, but he was hilarious. He was funny.
Now, the six-fingered man, did you know that that's the same guy who had the hound dog in Best in Show? Yeah.
Christopher Guest? Is that, was that
That's Christopher Guest?
Guest
is okay. The six-fingered man.
I didn't put that together, to be honest.
He looks so different in it. But yeah, when you see him, yeah, it's Christopher Guest. So, I mean, the cast was amazing. The movie was great. I feel like this is a waste of time that we're reviewing a 40-year-old movie. And the fact that one of you has disappointed me so incredibly, Nicola. I mean, I'm not saying anything, but like, it's fine. Okay, enough Princess Bride talk, just so you know.
I've got one more point.
Is it positive? Go ahead.
It is positive, actually. The film, like the sets where they filmed, so it was filmed mainly in Ireland, but I've just also seen one of the places after the fire swamp, Buttercup and Wesley were captured at Burnham Beaches, which is somewhere where I've evented.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, that's cool.
That's kind of neat. Did you go through the fire swamp to get to the cross-country course?
Don't recall that part, no.
They're like, watch out for the lightning sand in the RUSS.
Look out for the big rats.
There's fire that just happens, but it's preceded by a popping sound. Yes. So we could live quite comfortably in here forever. Oh, you guys. All right. Well, Nicola, thank you for coming on and giving us some of your time. Smooch that little puppy dog behind you. And it's going to take me a minute to forgive you, but I'll get over it.
She can't kick people out of the auditor room, so you're safe, Nicola. Well, you're good. Thank you.
I do think she's right. It is a nostalgic thing for
sure. I think so, too. I agree.
Bye.
Probably if I watch Monty Python today, I would hate it. You know, so, you know.
It's... Oh, no. Lucas and Chad have watched it again, and they love it.
Oh, do they?
He loves it.
Okay.
Yes, he loves it.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Nicola.
You can enjoy your favorite equine videos all in one place with Ride TV, the ultimate equine streaming platform. The newly relaunched Ride TV has all the series you love, like Rockstar Vets and Mini Horses, plus top-tier training videos and event footage from BarrelRacing.com and Horse and Rider On Demand. Whether you're ready to relax with your favorite series, binge watch competition footage, or train with a world champion, subscribe to Ride TV today for only $19.99 to see where your ride takes you. Visit RideTVGo.tv to subscribe.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader. Horse trading.
Well, it's a laissez-faire, let the buyer beware. Horse trading, they tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading, well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
That's right. It is time for Really Bad Ads. With all the fun we've been having on this show, I almost forgot it was Friday. It's Really Bad Ads Day. So Really Bad Ads are a time when listeners submit ads to us, and we have a little bit of fun reading them at the end of the week. It gets you into your weekend with a smile on your face, hopefully. And we give away prizes every month, and the prizes are provided by HorseLoversWithAZ.com, home to over 120,000 products for your barn, your horse, and you. You can check them out at HorseLoversWithAZ.com. We have one prize this month. It's an Abeta zipper bag with bottle holders, $80. This is a saddle bag that goes over your saddle. It measures 12 inches by 9 inches by 3, has an exterior pocket, one mesh in... It has an exterior pocket, a mesh exterior pocket, an internal pocket, a key clip, and a water bottle pocket on each side. So it's perfect if you're doing trail riding or going out like Jennifer is with her new Western saddle. I need to get her one of these. That's a good idea.
Shh. Merry Christmas.
I'm going to write that down, actually. She doesn't have one. That's perfect. All right. So that's what we're going to give away next week. And tell us, we don't always get to all the ads because we get so many. Who are we not getting to today?
Okay, well, we are not going to get to, but you are entered for the prizes. Summer, Lindsay, Carrie, Michelle, Katie, a different Katie, and Paige. All of you guys are in. And the first one comes from two people actually sent this one in, Faye and Caitlin. And I mean, yeah, just his picture. All right, oh, Avion. I looked up Avion to how to sell it, say it, and it's actually Latin for bird and Spanish for airplane.
Well, that's appropriate when see you look
it,
at the picture.
See if it tracks. Avion is 13 years old and 12.3 hands. She's pictured with a 5'14". Do not let her tiny stature and sweet face fool you. Avion is one hot and spicy little number. Avion is brave, extremely brave. She will fight a bear and then drink cheap whiskey at a seedy dive bar brave. This pony is not, by the way, those are when it's all capitalized, if you didn't get that, not for the faint of heart. If you have to ask yourself if she may be too much pony for you, she is. Advanced rider only. Where she is pocket rocket sized, she is not for a kid. She is sound. She has no stable vices. We have had her for many years and only want the best for our heathen Hellcat pony. We are a family of crazy eventers. Hot and spicy is our jam. So when I tell you this pony is hot, I mean it. Very aggressive. The best home with a first right of refusal is the only option. She is hot and we love her for it.
Not enough to Avion, keep her.
But yeah, not enough to keep her. Avion did spend this last year showing, eventing, and is ready for her next brave, brave tiny teen on a budget. So basically,
it's cute though. This is a picture of this pony jumping about 3 feet. I mean, it's a very nicely, yeah, too.
A nice jumper, but yeah, I mean, we've all, not all of us, but I've ridden horses like this and they, this, not this small. I mean, this is a 12.3.
This is the size, this is scooter size. This is size, tiny. Yeah.
This is like 12.3 is
tiny.
14, like 13. That's tiny.
Yeah, that's tiny. Yeah. Yeah, they say it's not for kids, but you got to have a small teen to ride this one.
I mean, yeah. Small human, period.
But yeah. Is the pony hot? I didn't get that. I wasn't sure.
I don't know. I couldn't read between the lines.
Oh, okay. So Amanda sent this one in from Quality Horses, South Carolina, North Carolina, Georgia, and Virginia. And this is a short one. God, look at the picture. 14.3 hand trail horse for sale. No buck, no rare. No kick, stands for farrier, crosses water, has great stamina, $3,000 firm.
Okay. First of all, you did a service to that ad because it's no buck, space, comma, space, yeah. R-A-R-E, space, space, comma, space, no kick. Do you know why this horse doesn't buck? I'm looking at the picture. Because the person riding this 14.3 trail horse is 400 pounds.
Yes, at least.
He can't buck.
He can't barely move. And the saddle and must weigh another 100 pounds. It's enormous.
The saddle and pad, like if you look, that saddle and pad is actually going like 4 inches from the dock of his tail. Like, it's very ill-fitting. The bit on this horse would stop a freight train. It's a shank bit, and they have a tie down, and this dude is 400 pounds. Okay.
I wish they gave us the comments, because apparently there's 65 comments on this and 45 crying faces. So
yeah. Yeah. Aww, yeah. I need to go get this. Somebody get this baby. It needs help.
The comments are going to be good on this one.
We need the comments. Yeah. I'm here for the comments.
Kat sent the next one in.
Go ahead.
Oh, this is what it reads. There's a little, there's an American flag. Oh, he gentle, he pretty. Okay, it's like a haiku without punctuation.
No punctuation.
Don't haikus have punctuation?
I don't know.
Okay. Whew. I don't know if I'm up for this today. American flag. Oh, he gentle, he pretty, he big, he stout. Fire emoji. Clyde, 3-year-old, out of Percheron Mare Frisian Morgan Cross Stud. He stands 16-1 hand, broke to ride Ben on lots of trails, smooth all gates, good with other horses, good for farrier, low tie is like kids is very quiet if you want to drive extra miles, just to buy him location, plain view, MN for more information, call.
I think, again, your MO today is giving people too much credit.
There's faces everywhere. Clyde it made it wrong. Very hard to read.
They spelled Clyde wrong. They spelled Percheron wrong. They spelled Frisian wrong. They spelled Stud wrong. And they spelled Ties wrong.
I still don't know exactly what it is. It's some kind, by the way, it is a good looking draft horse, is what I would say. It's a really good looking draft horse.
He's actually really cute. He, you know what? I was thinking he big, he pretty, he stout.
Yes, that's right. That part was true. That part's true. He's a good looking horse.
But it's a mare. Why did they say he big, he gentle, he pretty, he stout?
Well, and I couldn't they're quite like, figure Percheron? Out of a Percheron mare.
Perch Ion Mare Fry Free Scion
Morgan Morgan. That makes him like a third stud of a draft horse or something. I don't know. I'm lost.
Okay, wait.
I don't know if he's a male or female at this point.
Now I got to figure this out. Okay, so he big, he pretty, he stout. Oh,
okay, so it's got to be a boy.
Percheron Mare Frisian Morgan Cross Stud. Okay, I'm looking at the picture and I see some sort of sheath. So it's a boy.
I don't know where that one is in case you want it, but he is good looking. I got to give him that.
There's no help for this. Well, Carol and Janelle sent this next one in, and this is our trailer of the week. Livestock trailer in Thomasville, North Carolina for $800. The ad, sorry, I haven't seen the picture yet, but I'm going to go home and read it. It says, been wrecked. Oh boy, what am I going to see? 16-foot bumper pull split gate in middle. Needs floor. Good tires. Bill of sale only. That means, oh my God.
Somebody sideswiped this thing.
This thing was rolled down a hill.
Somebody hit this from the side, trashed the whole side in.
Oh my gosh, you can't open the door. The reason that it needs a floor is because it was hit so hard that all the boards shook loose.
The whole side.
They're still in there.
How are they getting $800 for this? It's trash. Oh my God,
this looks like it fell off a cliff.
It does. Does look like it fell off a cliff. That's terrible. $800 and I'll haul it away for you. All right.
Oh my God.
Holly sent this one in. This is out of Texas Horse Trader. We get good ones out of Texas Horse Trader.
Oh yeah.
Show me all the cheap, cheap, cheap horses and ponies you want off your feed bill. Needing groceries is fine with me. I've got a horse leaving Tuesday and can't stand to look at an open stall. You guys must be related.
Yeah.
My feed bill is begging for me to stop, and I feel like it's just not high enough. PFA of my favorite fat PFA of my favorite fat geriatric.
Let's pick for attention.
Okay, thank you. He's 28 and a hard keeper. So yes, the feed bill is Snoop Dogg high quality. I guess they're looking for a horse to replace the one that's dying, or they're
I don't know. There's one leaving and they need to feed
then
things.
Then they go into
by
this
way,
28-year-old that they're insinuating is a hard keeper and may not make it. I don't know. It's a fat horse.
I don't know. It's a very fat horse.
It's a very fat Texas horse. You know, we have a theme today. They're all just very confusing.
I'm just very confused. Very confused. Yeah. All right. Alyssa sent this one in. And the title of this Craigslist ad is Horses, $1,250 in Springdale. And then there's a picture. Let me read the ad first because I don't know what I'm looking at. 25-year-old-POA Mayor, M-A-Y-O-R, has, oh, there's no punctuation either, has been an excellent horse ties. Loads, trims, just a good old girl looking for a new pastor, P-A-S-T-O-R, can be
looking to get religious, apparently.
By children or small adults. Oh, my God. They're selling their 25-year-old pony for $1,250. And by the way, the picture is of a... I mean, I guess it's a, but it's so far away from the camera. It looks like a little appy pony POA thing with a blanket and it's bay, but it's like in the snow. So I can't tell what is the white part of the horse and what is the white part
of the
ground.
Well, the fact that it's a picture in the snow tells us how new the picture is, right? So.
Good point. It's that August snow in Springdale we always hear about.
And one of the alerts we should put on our list of alerts when you read these ads is if the picture is taken from about 4 miles away, that means they can't get close to the horse. There's a reason.
I mean,
for that.
That is obviously.
Yeah. And this was one of those cases. And this horse is looking at them like they're like, this horse is going to tear them to shreds. It's so funny.
You catch it, you take it.
But maybe that's why this horse needs a pastor, you know, religion. Maybe that's why.
He needs, what is it, when they exercise them?
He needs
an exorcist.
Yes. That's right. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for sending your ads in. You can send them in to Jennifer@horseradionetwork.com. Next week, we'll pick the winner of the prize. And hang on. We're just going to do a short post show for you here for the auditors. And then we'll let you go into having a terrific weekend. We hope you're safe on this holiday weekend. Enjoy your long weekend. I know, you know, we have Labor Day, so we all can take off and eat barbecue. So that's what we do on Labor Day, apparently. So have a great weekend, everybody.
I mean, the thing about Labor Day, no labor.
No
baby.
Labor. That's right.
Except for if you have horses, then you have labor every day. That's fine.
That is true.
All right, everybody. Spay, neuter, and geld.